All right, let's get our Bibles and open to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And we'll be looking again at verses 5, 6, and 7, mostly 6 and 7. And so we'll read where the Bible says there in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, there's a beautiful promise, and it is a promise. You can have peace with God, peace which passeth all understanding, but only through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can never have peace with God through religion or religious activities of any kind, no matter how diligent, no matter how faithful you might be. Now, for much of my adult lifetime, the example held forth to the world of someone who was a real Christian was Mother Teresa. You recall the work she did over in Calcutta, probably. So let's start there. Listen to this. This is from an old article, and I'm quoting, quote, Mother Teresa put on the fast track to sainthood by the Pope. After her death 5 years ago was tormented. Okay, have you ever found that word, tormented, in the Bible? She was tormented by a crisis of belief for 50 years. Her writings revealed. Her letters and diaries present a completely different picture of the nun and Nobel Prize laureate. From her, a different picture from her public image as a woman confident of her faith. It's being said in Rome that biographies will have to be rewritten to take the revelation into account, the revelation from her own writings. The previously unpublished material is to be brought out as a volume in Italy. It was collected by Roman Catholic authorities in Calcutta after her death at age 87. Mother Teresa, who worked among the poor in Calcutta, wrote, quote, my smile is a great cloak, just a way to hide, a great cloak that hides a multitude of pain. I am forever smiling. People think my faith, my hope, my love are overflowing, and that my intimacy with God and union with his will fill my heart. If only they knew. Mother Teresa said, quote, the damned of hell suffer eternal punishment because they experiment with the loss of God. In my own soul, I feel the terrible pain of that loss. I feel that God does not want me, that God is not God, that he does not really exist. End of quote. And according to her diaries, her doubts persisted until her death. And why wouldn't they? She was a devoutly practicing member of a religion that offers no salvation, and therefore no peace. And there's only one place you can get assurance, and that is from a holy Bible, the Word of God. This poor lady, she spent her whole life doing good works and never sought refuge in the pages of the Word of God. And so she lived a tormented and miserable and unhappy life. And well, we can hope that she was saved in spite of her religion, but she has no testimony of salvation. I mean, we were reading her, I just read her own words. She's not even sure God exists. Thanks to her religion, she had no hope. And because she had no hope, she had no peace. Because she had no peace, she had no joy. Hey, if all you've got is a Baptist church, a Methodist church, a Presbyterian church, Assembly of God church, Catholic church, if that's all you've got, if your only hope is that you are in a rescue mission feeding poor people, doing good, if you don't have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ through faith in his word, you are going to live and die in misery of soul. No matter how many people in this world praise you and pat you on the back and hold you up for recognition. And man, that's a sad thing, isn't it? It's a sad thing. That is not somebody writing about her. That is her testimony, confiding privately in a diary that she doubts the existence of God. And so she's tormented in her soul. That's terrible. I tell you what, we need this old book, the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God gave us this book because we need it. We need to hear it. We need to study it. We need to sit under it and be fed thereby. And I'm glad. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening tonight. I hope you have a sure and certain hope of heaven. I do. I do. Not by my works. And that was the dear lady's problem, not by my religion, and that was the dear lady's great obstacle, but through my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so you should be in Philippians. Be careful for nothing. Okay, this promise of the peace of God follows a grasping or an understanding of the truth. What truth? The truth that the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And not that the return of Christ to take us to heaven is at the door. That's not the saying. He's saying, at my very side, close enough that we're dealing in the physical realm and the spiritual realm, I can reach out and touch the Lord Jesus Christ. He is present with me. And on the basis of that truth, let all men see that I am moderate. Okay, I'm getting this from verse number 5 now. Look there. Verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. You see that? Not the coming of the Lord. The Lord is at hand. He's right there. So I do not need to be full of care about anything. I do not need to be fearful about anything. The Lord is so near. He's so near that I can walk in fellowship with the Lord, walk in confident assurance of his watch care over me. Now, we're going to have troubles. Okay, we're going to have problems. But in those troubles and in those problems, God's peace can keep our heart and mind. Now, the scripture says here, the Lord is at hand. Okay, if the Lord is at hand, well, then I'm not going to drown. If the Lord is at hand, I'm not going to fall. If the Lord is at hand, I'm not going to lose my salvation. If the Lord is at hand, the devil is not going to overcome me. If the Lord is at hand, then my enemies are not going to destroy me. If the Lord is at hand, then I have eternal protection and everlasting life and all my needs provided for. If the Lord is at hand, but if I fail to look to the Lord who is at hand and become permanently and preeminently preoccupied with the things of this world and the care of this life, well, then I cut myself off from the promises of verses 6 and 7. And now when we begin to talk about this peace of God, people who have forfeited their peace by concentrating upon their troubles, they answer with things like, well, you just don't understand, or you don't know my situation. You don't know how I was raised, or you don't know what I'm facing, or you don't know my economic or my financial situation. Come on now. Come on. These verses are true for everyone who is saved. There are no exclusions here. The Lord didn't say you don't have to care about anything. He said don't be full of care about anything. See, our trouble is not that we have cares. We all do. Our trouble arises when we do not bring these cares instantly, one by one, to the Lord. But we wait until the load and the measure of our care is so great that we're not able to carry it to the Lord, but rather we're crushed under its burdens. So the problem is not that we have too many troubles. The problem is that we allow the troubles to become so numerous before we take them to Jesus that we can't carry them all. Had I taken them one by one, had I taken them moment by moment, had I taken them each time they arose, I would have had care after care after care. But, you know, I still have cares, okay? But I would not have had care upon care, and then care upon care, and then care upon care. See, care after care, that you can deal with that. You can handle that. Don't you bring it to the Lord. But when you pile them up one upon the other, that's something entirely different. See, one at a time carried to Jesus, that's not ever going to weigh me down. All at once, I can't move under their weight. When you read the Bible in the Old Testament about these men who slew 1,000 opponents single-handedly, Samson out there with a jawbone of an ass, Jonathan and his armor bearer, you know what these men did? And you can read the accounts. They get in a narrow place or a high spot where they can take on these adversaries one by one. Now, they couldn't take out 1,000 men at one time, but one man, down he goes. Second man, down he goes. Third man, down he goes. It adds up to 1,000, but it was only one at a time. And so they could handle it. They could handle it. And so, friends, when your troubles come, you can't handle them 1,000 at a time. But if you take them one by one to Jesus and allow him to carry that burden away, allow him to meet that need, it will never crush you. It'll never overwhelm you. You know what the Lord wants me to do, according to Philippians 4:6? He wants me to get in a position spiritually, prayer-wise, where I am not taking a week's worth or a year's worth or a lifetime of problems at once, but I'm taking them on one by one as they come along. And I'm whipping them. Well, not me, but Jesus is whipping them for me. See, he didn't say don't care. He said don't get full of care. Don't be careful. Be careful for nothing. Do you remember those disciples out in that storm on the sea, Mark chapter 4? And the Bible says in that case that the ship was full of water and the disciples panicked and they thought they were going to drown. And now, you know what the trouble was? The trouble was when the first wave splashed a little bit of water over the sides of that ship and onto its deck, they didn't wake up Jesus. They thought they could handle that. When the first buckets full of rain fell from the sky into the hold of that ship, they didn't wake up Jesus. They thought they could handle that. When the waves began to be blown by the wind across the decks of that ship and sheets of water began to pound upon it, they didn't wake Jesus up. They thought they could handle that. By the time they got around to waking Jesus, they had let so much water into that boat, they had lost their peace. Now, brother, sister, you know, every one of us tends to handle the troubles and trials of our life in just that way. Oh, it's a little thing. I don't need to pray about that. Oh, it's just a little problem. I'll work it out myself. It's not a big deal. I can handle this. But before long, so many of those little things that were not a big deal, now they've joined together and their combined weight has robbed you of your peace. All right, so watch. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. You see, the songwriter, the hymn writer, really sums it up. He says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Let me use this illustration because it addresses the situation. Suppose we were going to engage in some kind of great building project. And so we ordered for that building project 10 tons of bricks. I'm not a builder, so I'm probably way off on how many tons of bricks it would actually take to build anything. But I'll just use that number, 10 tons of bricks. So the truck pulls up and parks on the property, and I say to that truck driver, "You just shut it off for now. I'm going to unload those 10 tons of bricks, and I'll do it all by myself." Okay, well, if that man will allow me the time to do it, I can do it. I can do it. One brick at a time. I can unload 10 tons of bricks. I can do it all by myself. But if that man says, "Well, I don't have that kind of time. You just stand there, stand behind this truck, and I'm going to, you know, raise the bed, dump them out, slide those 10 tons of bricks off the back of this truck, and you just catch them all." You know as well as I do, the same weight of bricks that I could handle one brick at a time, now it's going to crush and destroy me if I attempt to handle them all at once. And this is the truth that the Lord's trying to convey to us in this verse of scripture here. There is nothing that will ever be allowed to come your way that is so great a burden and so sore a trial as to crush you. If every previous trouble, trial, concern, upset, and disappointment has been properly taken to God in prayer for his handling, well, then whatever comes your way next is not too great a load or too heavy a burden, because it's the only thing there for you to go to God with in prayer, and the only thing for you and the Lord to deal with. But if that thing comes atop the accumulated things that you never took to God in prayer, it's likely to crush you. And so the Bible says, in everything by prayer, in everything by supplication, asking for God's supply of peace, of grace, of strength, of hope, of courage, of faith. In everything, we take these matters to prayer, and God's peace is possible. All right, on top of that, we're not through with the verse. It says with thanksgiving. Okay, so watch carefully. If I can thank God for that sickness, it's not going to overcome me. If I can thank God for that setback, it's not going to overcome me. If I can thank God for that thing that seemed to go wrong, it's not going to overcome me. When I fail to lose my ability to thank God for what he allowed, it's because I've lost my confidence in the Savior's working and the Savior's dealing in my life. And so it's not the thing that happened that's robbed me of my peace. It's my temporary lack of faith in the Lord that has robbed me of my peace. Think about this. If trouble hit me, it's because the Lord, who is at hand, did not stop it. If a germ caught me, it's because the Lord, who is at hand, did not prevent it. If a false accusation stabbed me in the back, it's because the Lord, who is at hand, allowed that thing to slip through. So thank you, Lord. It makes no sense to me at all. Thank you, Lord. I don't understand why this is happening. Thank you, Lord. Personally, I don't appreciate it, but who am I to think that I know what's best for me? So Lord, you've always been right. You've always done what's best. Your way has always proven true. So I'm going to thank you for this unpleasant situation and circumstance, this troubling event, because I'm trusting you with my life. See, that's okay. He says, make your request. You can ask him to take it away. Bring your supplication. That's all right. You can request that he would deliver you out of what's happening. But whether he frees you from the circumstance or enables you to go through the circumstance, if you can maintain your confidence in the Lord, you will not lose your peace, no matter how great the trial. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Are you ready? Here's the third thing. So first of all, you can't let those things pile up. You got to take everything one by one to God in prayer, all your cares one by one. Secondly, you've got to be thankful. You've got to trust God. Number three, let your requests be made known unto God. Hey, if you want to tell me, okay, I'll listen. But in most cases, I probably can't help. If you want to tell your best friend, they'll listen. But in most cases, they can't help. No man can heal you. Few men can make your enemies go away. No mortal can make your troubles vanish. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to pray for you. But my question is, why is it so much easier to tell 30 different people what's wrong than it is to tell God 30 times? Why do our troubles overcome us? Because we commune with people who can't lift our burden. Because we tell people who can't give us peace. Because we run to people who can't deliver us. Instead of taking these things to the one and only one who can lift our burden and give us peace. The Lord is at hand. That's verse number five. Let your requests be made known unto God. Okay? You don't even have to pick up a telephone to do that. You don't have to send a text message or an email. You don't have to get in your car and go for a visit. You don't have to schedule an appointment. Why? The Lord is at hand. I'm down about something. I'm upset about something. I'm hurt about something. I'm scared about something. The Lord is at hand. Why don't I tell him? I mean, after all, if anybody can do something about it, it's him. If anybody can help me with this situation, it's the Lord. Let's be honest. Saved people who believe the Bible tend to make prayer to God the last resort. Oh, I've tried everything. I'm at my wit's end. I can't go another day. I think I need to pray. Imagine that. We kind of have this idea that until it gets really bad, I'm not going to bother God with it. I mean, I'll handle it. When it gets to a place where I can't handle it, I'll let the Lord handle it. Well, guess what? You can't handle it. I can't handle it. Our friends can't handle it. God can. God can. So why don't we learn? When are we going to learn to take it to the Lord in prayer, to make seeking God, calling on God our first move and not our last move? Our initial act should be to seek the face of God. Now, again, the Lord is at hand, always. Always. He never leaves. He never forsakes, never abandons, never runs away. The Lord is always at hand. He was at hand before the trouble came. He is at hand when the trouble comes. What does he want me to do in order to maintain perfect peace in my soul during the trouble, in spite of the trouble, whether it's taken away or whether I go through it? How do I keep my heart and soul at peace? I take every single thing to God in prayer as it arises. I go there with a thankful heart because I'm trusting God. I'm believing that God's way is best. And on top of that, think about this, I'm making my request known unto God. I'm not telling you don't ask others to pray. That's what we're doing tonight, right? And I'm not saying don't seek the help of trusted friends and loved ones and ministers. I'm not saying that. But ultimately, for me to have peace, to have peace, my trust has to be in God, not everybody else, not anybody else. I have got to trust the Lord, and so do you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for impressing upon our hearts tonight the importance of bringing all of our cares and troubles and trials and things that we might worry about and telling us, Lord, that we need to bring them to you first, trust that you'll take care of it, that you will give us the peace that you promised us in your Holy Bible. Help us, Lord, to put away our pride and stop thinking that we can take care of things. And because we know that kind of thinking makes us not pray when we ought to. And it steals our peace. Lord, we want to have that peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we thank you for that promise. Help us, Lord, to do what's needed to take advantage of that promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.